Every fire season, people across the country take to their posts, high above the forests, to watch and wait. One of them is commentator Carla Thielen.
For 3 months a year, I live with my dog Bandit in a lookout tower atop an 8,000-foot peak in Idaho's Selway Bitterroot Wilderness. When I'm on duty, daily life consists of scanning a boundless, silent landscape, my eyes traveling slow over steep ridges and jagged peaks, ravines, rivers, and streams. I'm looking for blue columns of smoke announcing a forest fire in the works. My lookout tower sits 9 miles and 5,000 vertical feet up a trail, the head of which is 60 miles of winding dirt road from the nearest town, which itself is days away from anything that could be considered metropolitan. The tower is 13 feet by 13 feet, partitioned off from the sky by 28 panes of glass. I haul water from a spring nearly a mile away. I cut firewood with a cross-cut saw, wash clothes by hand, and I use a solar-powered two-way radio. Food, books, coffee, and other necessities are hauled to the tower at the beginning of each season on the backs of 5 stalwart mules that know the trail well. Only once in my 2 seasons have I received an unexpected visitor, which was shocking and left me at a loss for words. He noted that I had no lights and asked what I did at night. I said, "I go to sleep." He asked how many visitors I received, so I showed him the visitor log. 2 summers, 1 page, 14 names, some of which were dogs. We lookouts crave the romance of mountaintop solitude, but solitude walks a fine line between bliss and madness. It beguiles you like a siren, then it almost kills you. For days on end, heavy fog and clouds can obscure any visibility, and I pace, trying to recite the presidents of the United States in order, or singing long-forgotten summer camp songs at the top of my lungs. Up there, the nearest human I know of is 16 miles away as the crow flies in another lookout tower. Once, when I was inundated with thick smoke, I called him on the radio to see if there was a fire on my mountain, the way you'd ask a friend if there's spinach in your teeth. Maddening, yes, but given the option, I would choose it over the madness of traffic, telemarketers, and more bad news about the state of the world. Isolation is the price I pay for mountain air, pure water, and quality time away from the electronic buzz of life below. There are modern conveniences I miss, though, and by the end of the season, heaven could be described as a shower that pumps out an endless supply of hot water. But ask me in the middle of fire season, and I will tell you that perfect joy is a night practically choking on stars like a mouthful of so many diamonds after a day so quiet the sound of my own voice startled me. It's a body weary from splitting firewood, falling like a rag doll into bed with no worries of a light to turn out. It's a soft surrender to sleep on a simple bunk, the promise of a bright orange sun coming up in the east to assure that you won't miss out on one precious minute of another morning.
The comments of Carla Thielen, who lives in Darby, Montana, when it's not fire season.